economic development is very important for this committee, which is the Committee on Economic and Business. And therefore, we are looking forward to great
enthusiasm to receive your budget and plan, and we would want to give over to you immediately to do the presentation. The procedure is normally that what we'll do after your presentation, we'll give an opportunity for members to engage with that. We will also just want to remind the members that we have the minutes that we didn't do this morning. We just come out of one meeting about half an hour ago, and now we need this one again. So if you see any members feeling a bit drowsy, it's not because of what you say, but it's because of the aircon that Mr. Erasmus has set up to 28 before we came in there. We hope we will get to that. Please, Deputy Minister. And I think that I should do this. Honourable members, it's terrible to share with you that Mr. Koran Naidu, the acting DG for the Economic Development Department, passed on this morning, if I have it all right. So we want to ask you as well that as you visit the family, to also convey our heartfelt condolences to the family. It's losing a venerable member of your team, and we want to assure you as well that we share this difficult time of the colleagues of Mr. Naidu in the Department of Economic Development. Thank you. We do have a letter here from the Minister of Economic Development and the statement that he has issued on the passing of Mr. Koran Naidu. Minister, thank you.
Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity. Indeed, it's a very difficult day for us. We're not at our best. The minister is also not here for the same reason. There's also one member that to be with him. The funeral will be, there'll be a cremation tomorrow at 2 o'clock in the day. With me today, if you look at us as you sit here, there will be familiar faces, there will be faces that are not familiar. Next to me, I have the acting DG, Mr. Simpson. And then I have Mohamed Arda, you are used to him. And I've got Ivan Kosi. And then Steve Trahane is an acting CFO, federal CFO, left in the end of March. Thanks, Chair, we are presenting to the committee today our APP and the strategic plan, and We want to indicate that our mandate hasn't changed. It's still the same, identifying priorities for job creation, inclusive growth, and decentralization. We support alignment of the states around implementation, which is a very difficult one for many people to comprehend. We oversee and provide strategic direction to development finance institutions, and provide strategic direction to on competition policy and trade administration matters. So they still stay as they are. So the context of our work is informed by the global economic performance and its impact on us as South Africans. The domestic economic performance, we look at the domestic economic performance and identify constraints and challenges that need to address them. We look at provincial job performances and the overall impact to our work. We seek to address the triple challenges of poverty, inequality, and unemployment, and also align all public agencies and regulators to the national vision as outlined above. We also ensure that the social partnership is there between government and all the other role players. We want to say that today, as we give the report, that you know, our global, we're giving it, as we give this APP, we're mindful that our global economy remains very fragile, and the conditions are not promising to relax anywhere there nearby, which calls on us to actually put on effort, extra effort, to ensure that we don't slide back into more difficult situations. The falling commodity prices, we are aware of, all of us, and this global environment that is so treacherous that countries like Brazil and Russia couldn't stand. Our global GDP has been revised down to 3.1. But what they also bring us hope is because when you look at the employment, we still are managing to create more positive employment, although it's not enough to actually give us the right result that we want to see in terms of decreasing unemployment. 16 million of jobs were created by the end of 2015 for the first time. 698 of them were created only between 2014 and 2015. 277,000 being for young people in the 12 months. So all these that we're mentioning at the end are actually creating hope that indeed if we can add on the things that we do, we may even get even better work. We are speaking to the NCOP, and I guess that in one of the copies that you have in front of you may not be having that is an extra page that we just gave you this morning, because you just remember that we always, it's in our tradition that we always share with you the provincial picture as compared to the national picture. We are sharing with you here that this is the situation in relation to our environment in general, and also that in provinces, this is what we have. The highest unemployment is in the Free State. Free State. And the lowest unemployment is, of course, the Western Cape. So these are the statistics that we're showing on how the differences have been has happened, and we're sharing with you, and we've shared copies with you that you can actually follow the trends. That we, this is the condition under which we are in. Those numbers that we're showing, we're actually showing us that in terms of unemployment rate by provinces, that graph is actually showing you that every state it is with its highest, and then Western Cape with its lowest unemployment. Very interesting enough, we see the effort that we've been carrying over time, pulling Limpopo right from the end, from the 8th up to the 7th to the Western Cape, which is was actually showing to us that if we put on more efforts, especially the plans that we have in the NDP and the NDP, we can actually be able to make significant changes in our society. These are just indications of these factors that we are relying on, what is it that is happening in today. We can see that when we look at all of them across all our sectors, they've actually lost, decreased in terms of their performance, except for trade. So it means that if we really need to turn around the situation, we must go to all the provinces and check what is it that we are not doing, what is it that we need to do further in agriculture. Mindful of the fact that you've got drought. And you can see how the effect of the drought has done. That red thing is saying you have reduced and even go further than even zero and go down in terms of your reduction of your employment. So these are we normally look at these sectors so that they can actually guide us in terms of where we must trace our activity from. This also, we also put this slide, which is an interesting slide, that is saying to us, where do we have the expenses, our people, if they are suffering, I mean, if our people are staying in a particular province, where are they actually affected so much seriously on prices? Our consumer price index indicates that the province of Limpopo is the highest consumer price index. And Northern Cape has got the lowest. So it means that if you've got 100 rand, the person that has 100 rand in the Northern Cape and the one that is having 100 rand in Limpopo, the one in Limpopo will buy less than the one that is in the Northern Cape. That's what it actually means. And it's important to look at it because it has got to do with a number of factors. It means that the prices of commodities are actually becoming like very high in that province. And we can actually just go through them and we'll see some of them can actually give you a picture that the drought also had an effect on them. If you say the Limpopo, you've got Eastern Cape, you've got Free State, and then you've got Gauteng and KZN. And then we have Western Cape. I have just seen an article on paper that was arguing that maybe in our consideration of drought should also look at Western Cape. Maybe this graph can actually be motivation on that. So what is it that we are presenting today? We are presenting the strategic plan to respond to those aspects and take ourselves from where we are into the next. So we'll be presenting, we're presenting it under a particular context where internally ourselves, we have kind of organized ourselves in a particular way. We have new and more effective ways of doing work. We've actually improved on that. We've actually tried to seek on that and we're actually find it. And smart use of resources to attain maximum values. And also enhance coordination and partnership in the state, in the state itself, improve partnership with business and labor, and real impact and strong focus on real impact and outcome. So this has been our focus in the previous year. We have seen some achievement on it, and we are still going to continue to focus on this. Additional one that we didn't put explicitly here because we put it in under state is the coordination between ourselves and between the national and the province and the municipality, and we're beginning to get that that one right. So we are putting today a strategic plan and an APP that is trying to respond to this improvement that we must have. We will be presenting our APP. Our programs are still three; they haven't changed. Our strategic objectives are six, they haven't changed. We have reduced the KPIs to 23, and we're looking at 170 outcomes by the end of the year. And these outcomes, we hope that they are ones that will assist us to lift and change the base that you have seen in the beginning. All these outcomes and all the strategic objectives that we're talking about, we derive them from the MTS 14 outcome focus on 4, 5, and 6 of them as indicated. We are also having having more emphasis in trying to get what the president has said must focus on the 9-point plan of the SONA. A 9-point plan of the SONA, which is a consolidation of action where we need to accelerate more on the areas that were identified in the national growth path of the NDP. So many people, I'm saying this here because when you work, when you go around the provinces and you go to municipalities and you discuss and say, SDK, you said it's an NDP, head to team, the other team spoke about, you know, a national goal path. Now we are coming here and come and tell us about 9-point plan. Each time you fail, you jump into the next. So we're saying to them, no, it's not anything different. The national growth path are key deliverables that were identified in the NGP that we must focus on in order for you to organize yourself in a proper manner. And then what we've done in the last few years was to evaluate the work that was done in all of them. And when we've done that, we then said, the president then said to us, you know, from now on, I see the other areas, there's a lot of work that we're doing that is actually taking us somewhere. But I want you to now consolidate yourself into these 9 areas, and I want you to report on them. And all of them were like a consolidation of those growth areas that you identified into this. There's nothing that is, that's a consolidation, a better definition of what is it that you should be doing. So we are also focusing on this. And as such, you would realize that the, in this previous cycle, we have spent more time in explaining those concepts. What do they mean? What is this NDP all about? Why should we do that? Why they should be relationship among, I mean, between themselves? What is this NDP and why this 9-point plan? So we have rounded almost all the areas to be able to explain us again. So these the programs, the KPIs and the outcomes are meant to do that. The first strategic objective that we need to deliver on program is in program one. And it's the one that looks more internally at ourselves, the strategic guidance of the department, where we've got 2 KPIs and we're expecting 4 products. And program two, which has got to do with the growth and job drivers, we have got 2 strategic objectives there. We coordinate job drivers and implement the implementation of the NGP economic strategy in support of the NDP. And then also facilitate social dialogue in order to meet that. And then on program three, that's where most of the 3 strategic objectives are. We have we coordinate infrastructure then, and then we promote investment, industrial funding, and entrepreneurship for jobs and inclusive growth. And then we also, the last one, we then promote competition, trade, and economic regulations. So these are the areas that we'll be looking at with clear key performance areas and product. What do they look like? If you go to strategic objective number one, on the strategic guidance of the department, we are focusing on ensuring that we receive an unqualified audit, and we'll be looking at a numerical target that we set on customer satisfaction. And here, the people that we are serving, what are they saying? And how can they rate us? So that we can be able to also give a feedback in relation to what they do, not only on the qualitative issues. So how we've organized that is that we have, in the strategic plan, organized it in the 3 remaining years of our strategic plan. And we have indicated that our core focus will be on the qualified audit plan. So in terms of this year in the APP, we are saying that the committee should expect that by quarter one, we should have responded to all auditor general queries. We must come here and say, here is the deliverables, all the issues that have been raised by the AG in the management report. We have responded to them in this way. These are the areas of our weaknesses, and this is how we're going to have them. And in the quarter two, that's when we have the Auditor General's report with a huge number of repeat findings. We are targeting that in the number that we have on findings in the new in this year, we should be having less of that, and we could be able to do that. So on the KPI 2 of that is one where we are saying we have done an analysis, we have we have promised in this previous financial year that we're going to have a dialogue and interaction with Gurat-Misael so that they give us a feedback. In this quarter, in the beginning of this quarter, we'll be doing an analysis of the user feedback, and by the second quarter, third quarter, and the fourth quarter, we'll be implementing a number of measures that have been approved by the executing authorities. On strategic objective two, on the coordination of truck drivers, we have got five KPIs in that area. How we want to do them, this is what we have stressed them also again in the like, say, 3 years. The peers is saying to us, share just to indicate to you what we mean there, is that as we do our work and we do the analysis of our economic performance and we interact with our partners and we interact with provinces and everyone, and we're giving reports to the committee and parliament, every year we'll have to have an annual conference. And that annual conference, that's where we bring in what we have learned in the process, share it with academics, share it with other stakeholders, business and everybody, and have a reflection on that, on what is it that can be done next. And in that conference, normally what we want to have is also a bulletin of the whole economic indicators on job drivers. So in the 9-point plan, let's say, if I may say, you have the analysis, you have that bulletin, you get to the conference, you do the analysis, and when we finish there, we come up with final thing that this is the report for what we're doing, this is how to suggest that we should do. So that is why that's what you see in the 3 years, and then in this year, that's why you see that in the first year we're talking about report on initiative on the jobs and economic development and public policy advocacy. Why public policy advocacy? Because when you do that, we don't just say this is the weakness. We also say what is the policy imperative? What is the policy weakness of this particular area that we're actually doing? And then in quarter three, we'll then be reporting on initiatives on jobs, on economic development and public advocacy, and then in the quarter four, the last quarter, we'll then be having that conference. And so that's how we'll sequence the work that needs to be done. On KPI 5, which is identifying a number of strategic support initiatives to provide for the implementation of the job drivers and of the NGP. We have identified in the 3-year plan, we're saying that we should be identifying these initiatives in each and every 3 years, because of starting this year, we think we need to take less, or we're going to take two, and in the following year, four, and in the final year, five. So what we do in this is that we identify within all the 9-point plan areas or the job drivers areas, what we go and work with a work, say, in agriculture and agro-processing, because we have been promised in that day, that's the work that we're going to do. So we want that when since a pronouncement has been done, we don't just leave it until you come and ask us what is happening. We will be following it up to say, what is happening in this area? What are the initiatives that are here? Pick up one initiative out of the close or out of these ones and follow it with the leading departments, and look at the weaknesses that they might be having, assist them to coordinate that and that, and out of it, identify areas of weaknesses that needs policy intervention, or that needs an intervention, a big intervention. So that's what we follow. But then what will we then be doing when we have done that? We'll also be what we'll be doing is that we'll then give reports on each one of them to say, this is how we're performing on agro-processing, and these are the weaknesses, but this is how we have proposed that it should be dealt with, and this is how we're coordinating with the players to be able to do that. So these are the areas that we'll be looking at this year. Not all of them, because we can't be able to do them. We'll pick up the these ones as an area that we're going to do, and want to report by the fourth quarter on the outcomes of this. So the committee should expect a report on what is it that is happening. Then KPI 5, we are talking about initiative to support green economy, and that relates to the accord as well. So what we'll do in this one, we have said each and every year we must have at least 2 reports on initiatives on green economy. So what does that mean? It means that we can go out and say, let's go check all the solar energy developments. What are they? What is the job impact that they're having? Are they long term? Are they having some area that we actually have to deal with that might we might be getting surprises on? And then we give that report so that we allow a thinking on it as we go. We can also go to co-generations and say, how are we performing on co-generations? Are we moving? If there are implementation problems, we can be able to say, we are stuck because there is this aspect that needs to be done. So in that situation, create a bit of a pakiza to actually deal with that and move on. So that those are the things that we're actually referring to here. So in this year, quarter two, will implement and report. Will report on an initiative in a green in the green economy accord, indicating to members what progress have we made in specific areas and the weaknesses that we have in them. Why we put it like this? And normally we get asked, why are you not saying we're going to be solar in the first word? We said we have got a plethora of good things and challenges in all of them. So what we want to do is, instead of promising to do in all of them, we rather make sure that we meet the minimum of that one report in each one. If we can do 3 based on the speed that is going to be there, it's well and good, but at least we should deliver one of those reports in those quarter. Then in KPI 6, it's interventions and report based on that and women and their youth with access to employment and entrepreneurship. We have looked at one report which are going to send to cabinet and also going to share with members on those areas. What is the meaning of that? Is that we will pick up specific areas that I major focus of government on women and government entrepreneurship development and business, and analyze that and then bring it back and say, yes, that policy is fine because it delivers in this way. The first one that we'll be doing in this year will be a comprehensive report on what has happened since the youth accord in the beginning up to today. What has happened to each? And we're hoping to deliver it in the first quarter of this financial year. And we want to, when we have done so, we'll present it to cabinet and to the committee, and want to do a public reporting in June. In June, want to go and do a public reporting on all of them, including the youth incentives. Including the youth incentive aspect. No, this committee that asked us to do that, and we're actually late. This committee that says complete has given us, and one of the key aspects that was specified by this committee was that, how are we doing on the youth incentive? So we have delayed, but we want to promise you that we'll have to present it later on, and we'll do the public reporting on it. The danger of doing reports is that you might have the phone baby. So it's 2 ways. So number of special, local, and provincial initiatives supported to the promotion of socio-economic development. That is our KPI 7. The special, local, and provincial, we are referring to what is done by provinces. Is it relevant to what we're supposed to do? What is done by municipalities? Is that something that we want to do? So, in relation to this one, this is what we want to do, Chair. what we have done so far, maybe that's what we should say. I have indicated that we have already aligned ourselves with the provinces who are in the same wavelength with the municipalities in terms of where the country must go on the 9-point plan. All of us, we are clear. Even when you look at the APP, their strategic plan, they speak to this. So what we have realized that is something that we must go in is that you might be having good plans on paper, but these plans which are not supported by action. And I've already started some work in analyzing the kind of project that they're looking at. Some of them have indicated that province might be over-committing or municipalities might be over-committing on something that they didn't put resources on. And it's something that we need to get to a level. So what we want to do this year is that in the first quarter, we want to take one province, work with it in all the aspects that they have identified and they want us to do, that they will do. We are going to do the following in the 9-point plan. These are the projects we'll be helping with. Follow them up on all of them and then see what are the weaknesses that might be showing there and assist them to make it even more practical. We have already started doing so with some of the provinces, deciding and say, these you can't talk to, because it's a word of mouth, but there's no practice, there's no money, there's no resource allocation, there are no human resources, and there are no players that are going to take this project with you. Because sometimes we plan and we think that somebody's going to pick up, and nobody's going to pick it. So that's what we want to go and do in the first quarter. Then in the second quarter, we want to have a discussion in a technical meeting. A technical meeting is where you have all officials from all provinces and also from your metros and those areas and districts, and then we reflect on these and the weaknesses that we have learned from the other ones. And then out of that discussion, we also want to share pick up an initiative that will support integration of investment. So in that province, pick up, these are the investments that they have indicated, and the IGC can come in this, and that department can come in to assist them, and just ask them to like roll out in areas where we've got resources somewhere else. Then in quarter three, we want to go in the different, all the other, like start adding the other provinces and work on them together with your quarter four. And try to replicate what we've done in quarter one. So in strategic objective three, under strategic objective three, we have got one KPI, the number of developmental support programs for effective industrial relation support for implementation of social accords. We have planned 5 initiatives in the remaining that we want to do. And then this year starting with one, and the subsequent years two each. What is it that we're talking to there? We're talking to a picking up a relationship, say, with a particular industry on a particular with a particular industry, and pick up things that might be creating a problem in terms of its growth, and then try collectively to deal with them. Sometimes they may be related to policy, they might be related to lack of resources, they might be related to issues of maybe transformation, equitable, participation, and then we're going to be looking at that. So in this year, we are looking at by fourth quarter 2 initiatives we should have reported on them. We're looking at taking a discussion on the outcomes of the already established labor relations in Daba, and just look at the issues that can be there. We are going to follow up on the issues of minimum wage and industrial stability, so that the energy doesn't die down, and keep the pace, so that we conclude the issue of minimum wage, and we ensure that the industrial stability, we don't celebrate what we have now, and we don't look at the challenges that we might be having into the future. So we'll also be reviewing one or more accords in the process. On the strategic objective 4 with 6 KPIs, we want to do in the 3 year is the routine thing that we've been doing. Look at our SIPs, look at the weaknesses in our SIPs, follow up and report. The 60 progress report refers to the report that are expected of us to report to cabinet each time to the PICC and cabinet there, because they have expected us to, they are expecting us now to prepare a report on behalf of the PICC on a quarterly basis so that it can present it. So these are the reports that we're actually referring to when you say we're going to do that, and they are like 15 per quarter, this report. Somebody asked a question and say, what do you want to make us to make out of the report? Why are you not telling us what is it that we'll be doing in such? The report, because the amount of work that we do is an analysis of the problems and an analysis and a recommendation to say this is what you can do to get it to go. Unfortunately, it has to be a report. So, then on KPI 10 is the number of projects unblocked. We are setting a minimum of 8, whatever that we are having as areas of challenges in the infrastructure, at least 8 of them we must have unlocked. And this is coming from experience. Sometimes we set ourselves lots of targets on them and couldn't manage to do that. So we have actually structured it in such a way that the first year, KPI, that's 29, let's say 29. Then we're saying that this is the 8 that we'll be doing, and we'll be reporting on them the last quarter when we come in and give the feedback. KPI 11 is the number of cabinet and PICC strategic decisions. Those are the implementation following up of decisions of the PICC. That is the routine meetings. I wouldn't like to go into them because we've got to ensure that they happen. If they don't happen, things fall flat. And that one is the first one was of Secretariat and PICC, and so on. The 13 is for the SIPs, C5 and C5 itself. And then KPI 14. This has got to do with the type of localization in the infrastructure program. Take at least 3 initiatives, at least 11 initiatives in the next 3 years that are going to facilitate localization in the infrastructure. Starting this year, with quarter 2, we are going to give a report on an initiative that enhances local programs. What you do in that case is that we pick up a project within the PICC and identify it and the insight done. What is going to happen in this project when immediately it comes in? How much of it is going to go into a local procurement? Check if those are actually being implemented and give a report on the strength and the weaknesses on the implementation of that. And then we'll take another one, quarter 3 and 4, and present reports on them. Strategic objective 5. On our strategic objective 5, we've got 5 KPIs. And on the 5 KPIs, we have identified a number of initiatives that will assist us to facilitate investments and fast track and to facilitate investment, which include fast tracking and unblocking those that are blocked. So we are saying we are targeting for this year, 14 for the coming year. Why this number? Why 12, 14? We have used a means test in the previous years, how many we have done, and we have stretched ourselves a little bit. And then we put that figure as a minimum. And it comes from, this initiative comes from people requesting or indicating that they've got a challenge, or in the things that we do within the local, at the local stage, at the provincial level and municipalities. And then people come in and then I mean, in those, we identify where the weaknesses are, and you pass them on to Mohammed Bard, who is leading that anti-doping system. We then establish and monitor industrial funding, so and identify identified job drivers in township economy. KPI 16 has got to do with a specific area of work that we haven't been doing. We have reported in the past that we always make sure that we align the activities of our development finance institutions to priorities of government. So in this year, because there's an issue around township economy, we want to go and do some work in that. We have done some work this year. We analyze in a particular area and we assess what is it that they were doing there. There were 23 participants that ended up having some finance even from IDC itself, and they are continuing. So we want to continue with that work. We want to take two initiatives a year in the next 2 years. So we are looking forward to going to Mamelodi this year, interact with people at that local economic level, identify the challenges that they have, and see which development finance institution can actually come in and assist them in a way. So that is the meaning of what that means. KPI 17 is the number of reports on the level and impact of industrial financial available from IDC and department. So in this is that we check on the finance that is available for industrialization and say, where is it? We want to do in IGC, in all PLC, and everybody, who is having this amount? Where is it? And what impact is it doing in the different areas? We want to give 4 reports per year. And this year, we are bringing in a report for the end of the year in terms of those areas that have been identified. We want KPI 18 has got to do with just the number of engagement that we have with the IDC, the normal one, to check whether they are following the instruction that we have had, whether they have got challenges, whether there are things that we think we can assist them on in terms of improving their work. So we're going to be giving a report in our final report. This is what we'll be having on that engagement. Infrastructure with productive investment and growth in filling where appropriate off-take agreements. We're looking at a report per year, and we should be expecting a report in this year. The strategic objective 6, there are 4 KPIs, and the first one has got to do with engagement to support and strengthen economic regulators. So we are looking at one capacity building initiative, one review of regulator each year. So in this year, we want to do the initiative to strengthen our regulatory capacity in your competition and ITEC. Progress, and then quarter 4 will give you the progress of work stream on the review of existing role capacity of training regulators, assessment of capacity need with further proposal on possible consolidation when necessary. So in our KPI 21, initiative to ensure that trade authority policies are supported, we are talking about six reports that we want to bring per year in the next 3 years, 2 per year. These reports will be covering assessment of public interest clauses in selected measures and acquisitions, assessment of impact actions against selected cartels and dominant players, initiative to promote public and competition goals through measures and acquisitions. So we'll pick up these areas that where they are measured, and then we analyze what is it that is there. And also look at the changes in the Competition Act. We hear people some of the people are saying, no, we are saying one growth, at the same time we put in stringent rules on competition. We don't want to guess what it is. want to engage in the process and as we engage in it, we can look at the areas where we might need adjustment to allow us to facilitate growth and at the same time to ensure that people are not should change. KPI 22, number of initiatives to ensure trade authorities and policies support industrialization, employment, and other national levels. So we are looking at two initiatives a year on trade policies just to identify, I mean, analyze them and check if they favor. They allow growth. Somebody had already once asked that, can we do something on scrap metals? Because he feels that the laws are actually very difficult there. So it's part of that, an example of an area that we are talking about. So we have two reports, first quarter and the last quarter. The last KPI on the number of engagement with trade competition, the routine one that we normally have with the department, within the department, and then we'll give you a report by the end of the fourth quarter. So what is it that will be, we'll be doing all these things. We are proposing this kind of budget that we are seeing on the board and a number of programs, and the details are given to the heading and just to speak to the a bit of a detail on that. Thanks.
Please, for the record, just help our secretary by giving your name and your designation again, please.
Thank you, sir. My name is Stephen Chan. I'm presently acting CFO. Chair, we have included three slides that sought to give a summary of our budget for this current financial year. The first slide gives us an overview of the department's MTF 2016 allocations as per the ENE 2016. The department's total allocation over the 3 years MTF period amounts to 2.1 billion. This consists of 481 million for the department's operation budget over the MTF period, as well as 1.7 billion, which is allocated for transfer subsidies over MTF period. The second slide just gives us a summary of the department's budget program. We have three programs, and this budget is basically for this financial year, for this APT that we're talking about now. For program one, which is administration, we have an allocation of 79.2 million. Program two, growth, part, and social dialogue, we allocated 36 million. Program three, investment, competition, and trade, which houses entities. The budget for operations only is 30 million. And when you include transfer to entities, it comes to 528.9 million, which is only for transfer to entities. This gives us a total budget for economic development as 674.7 million. And when we exclude the transfers, the operational budget for the department comes to 145.9 million. Chair, the last slide focuses on the economic classification as the government financial statistics. Here we have a composition of employees, which is the main cost driver of our operational budget, which totals 93.9 million. We have goods and services totaling 48.9 million. And we have transfers and subsidies to our entities, which comes to 528.8 million. And lastly, we have payments to capital assets of 2.9 million. The total gives us a total budget of 674.7 million, consisting of 145.9 million for the operational budget of the department. Thank you, sir. That was.
Thank you very much. Jim? The committee
in the previous year gave us a task. And I want to give a feedback on that task. The committee said to us, they are giving us a period of 6 months to normalize our organization and to ensure that all positions are filled. I just want to report to you, Chair, honestly, that we couldn't conclude that job. What we have done was to conclude an aligned organogram from the one that was in existence, because the committee had aligned it according to the work that we're supposed to do for now. When we concluded it, our employees raised a concern on it to say that when we have that, there are certain things that also that we want to make an improvement on the way, on the operations, on daily operations of the work. And they said there are a number of policies that we didn't even have in the department that we needed to jump to. So we set on a process when we appointed the acting DC that just passed away this morning. We had agreed that by the end of March and April, we should have concluded all the processes, including the appointment of senior managers. So we haven't concluded that. When we appointed the current DC, we have given him 3 months. 3 months because there's also cabinet involved in there. To just close that work, conclude that work. They've done the policy that they require, they have actually put in a framework of the organizational structure that must happen. So must have it to kick off now. We have promised with the minister that to assist them. We then decided to appoint, in the appointment of the DG, we also appointed acting DGs, Medwarda and Duma, and we're looking at the possibility of appointing the third one. On the, because that one was more of a specialized area, so we're like consulting in terms of whether we should not be one of them able to appoint. So that's what I wanted to report on it.
Thank you very much for giving us that report back, but thank you also to you and the acting CFO for the budget and the APP that you have presented to us. When you started with APP, I was saying, where are we going to go to? But it came together when we were halfway through. It began to make absolute sense. Can I request that we allow the members of the committee, we'll take ourselves again in groups of three, and that is Honourable Harbour first, and then we'll have Honourable Pakis, and then we'll have Honourable Lennon. Just to help DM and your team, Honourable Faber is from the Northern Cape. Honourable Pakis is from the province that you know, that is very low in this. I always thought it's Eastern Cape, and I had learned its respect on its growth. Then Honourable Van Lingen is from the Eastern Cape. Honourable Faber, please tell me. Let's do it quickly, because I think that exhaustion is creeping in for many of us. Let's see if we can do three only. Honourable Faber.
See, listen, I will not exhaust them. Actually, just going to ask one. This is actually Honourable Alpha's portfolio, where she's specifically going into all the details. So I will not exhaust all her questions. She can have mine. But the one thing that I want to go on is on the employment analysis. If you go to page 2, changes in employment analysis. Now, Chairperson, I'm Afrikaans, and maybe this is why I don't understand this so well. But it is talking about the annual employment increase that's made up of 269,000 jobs in the informal sector. Then 236 in the formal sector. 118 in agriculture sector and 75,000 added by private households. Then, just in the next line, it says quarter-on-quarter employment increased by 190,000 in the same period. Now, if I see what Minister Patel says, not 190,000, he says over 200,000 in his press statement. Now I don't know, maybe 10,000 jobs here or there, but I want to know, are we now thumb sucking when we get to these figures? Because what the minister is saying, what he hears is different. It's maybe 10,000, but I mean it's a difference. Then year on year unemployment increased by 284. Now I don't know, maybe I don't understand this well, but to me if it is an increase, it cannot be a decrease as well. Because it says here, year on year unemployment increased by 284,000. Now we know that unemployment day by day are getting higher and higher and higher. So I don't know how we can say unemployment declined then by 225,000 persons to 5.1, which is definitely not according to Stats SA. So I would like to have information on that. And then it says number of those who were not economically active increased by 146,000 quarter to quarter to 12.7 million. I don't have clarity on this because this is very contradictory. The one sentence says it and then the next one contradicts it. So I need to get clarity on this. And I really think if I understand it wrong, then please enlighten me, please.
Liberal package.
Chair, let me appreciate the opportunity. Yes, I'm from Free State, Rutland Free State. Born in from Eastern Cape, the Kotuga School. So, let's welcome the presentation from the department. My first comment to the DM and the delegation or the collective is that Deputy Minister, we need for DVT over action, given the circumstances that are facing our people. Chair, I want to start with a point that is captured or reflected on slide 35, strategic plan and annual performance plan, where you talk of strengthening economic regulators across the state, addressing the abuse of the market power. Slide 35. Now, given the conditions and the circumstances that are facing our people, including the one that we have spoke about, issues of uneven and varying inflation, yes, there are different factors or determinant factors that informs and influence that. But I did not hear the Deputy Minister saying what is the intervention on place to at least to bring at least sanity and the balance. We know that the climate conditions of our provinces are quite divergent from each other. That's point number one. But linked to that is what you spoke or you talked about in terms of your presentation. The infrastructure impact on the citizens and the economy. As a member of the society, I always ask myself, Deputy Minister, when I'm alone and seeing the community provided that is facing our people, to say we have huge resources to deploy on infrastructure development. But then the big question that I always ask myself, which I think this is a golden opportunity for me to pose and get maybe a proper answer. What level of the skill we build in that process of building the infrastructure? Yes, there will be jobs. But then, who are these people who are building this infrastructure? The companies that are building the infrastructure. Because my you can say the stupid view or a narrow view that we cannot forever be dependent on the foreign companies building our bridges and roads and everything.
What level of build that we are building? What conditions that we put to whoever who is giving a particular tender to say, we want you to create this particular skill? You can say 12% or 15% given a particular threshold. What and how many jobs you're supposed to create out of this particular project? I think the state must come to that level to determine for whoever that we are giving a job, to say we want you to create this particular kind of a job and this number of jobs, and this is the skill and the kind of skill when the project is finished and handed over, these people are supposed to have been empowered with necessary skill and expertise. Chairperson, I want to link this question of market power with your intervention that you are talking about on mining. Your slide 16, KPI 4, slide 16, agriculture, agro-processing, and mining. Just few hours ago, I was in a select committee where the select committee of minerals and agriculture was meeting the department. The department is alive to the fact that access to the market by small holder farmers and your black commercial farmers, it could be a pipe in practical terms. Now I want to check the linkage between the work of the department with that of the agricultural department, because we cannot forever talk about agro-processing and we are unable to penetrate the market and we build the second layer of cream of people who are supposed to access that particular market. The last point, Chair, just to give chance to other members. The identification of initiatives with provinces, like we have aforesaid. I think because we are coming from different provinces here, we represent the interests of the provinces. We have indicated and highlighted that Free State is one of the provinces, it's one province with higher level of unemployment, which of course I think even the inflation is very high. And I think I'm free that to suggest the initiative that you take to identify together with the provinces what kind of projects that could have significant impact on the lives of the ordinary people and reduce the level of community poverty and unemployment. I suggest that you ponder Free State to be on the agenda, higher on the agenda. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Let me just check with you, Dim, and your team. The first and the penultimate questions, are they clear to you? They're clear. Okay, because you said mining and then mentioned agro-processing. Okay, that's super. Oliver van Lennon, please, while you do that, would you mind if I run?
Where do you want to run?
There where I can go along.
Oh, okay. You mean I can consider...
Please. I know you're dismissed.
Can I get a fee day? Would you like to? Thank you, Chairperson. I always think of this department as not necessary. And you know my story. My concerns are that 78% of this budget is being transferred to other entities or agencies or whatever. Does the money come to you and then you transfer it from your account, Why can't it then just go directly from National Treasury? Because surely the bank charges must be horrific. And what are the bank charges? When I look at all this, I... especially at on page 2 with strategic objective number 4, you talk about 60 ships projects with reports. And they are lying with its reports for cabinet. I know the one for decrease in parliament is when a report is before cabinet, because it doesn't get anywhere from there. We don't get access. We don't know what is happening. So basically what you are saying, page 25, unblock PICC SIP projects. We don't know what that means, because it's lying before cabinet. So we can never, the one function that you actually perform is the management, and you've got a special act to do it, and to unblock projects. And we don't know what you're doing, because we don't see the reports. And if we can just, if you can report on things like that, and the KPIs are clear, I'd be so happy, because then we know where we're going. But to me, this is all dark. There was another one that on CPIs. The unblocking. Now, when this act came into life in the fourth parliament, we were told that you are going to unblock blockages of note. Well, the two best examples of blockages would be Madupi and Kusile. And whenever I raise it with Minister Patel, he says, it's not us. It's the private partners. Now, the big problems with those two projects, from what we read in the mail, in the media, because we don't get reports from you, is the fact that it's labor. This is forever a labor issue. But those employees are all Eskom employees. It's not as though anybody else but government can be blamed for it. So what is your role in unblocking all that? Because the project is over, it's a mega project. It's over budget, it's over time, it's over everything. In Afrikaans, you said it would evolve. And nothing is happening. So the other one that's been blocked for years is the refinery. Now, yesterday, I think it was in the Cape Argus, I saw the center thread of the project, and it specifically referred to the refinery that's being built, or that's a major project. And I'd like to know where this is going to take place, because if I'm not mistaken, Kuga Development Corporation has spent hundreds of millions on EIAs and whatever research to get the project to come to the Eastern Cape, and we don't know where we are with that. So when it comes to the unblocking, I think we also need to know whether we're making progress or not, because that's part of our job, to know whether we are going forward with these mega projects. And it makes us very skeptical of the entire setup. Then, in all these strategic plans and annual performance plans, we get a new plan every year. But the plan was left there last year, and some of its targets were met and some were not met. Now when all the monies are not spent or all the targets are achieved, what happens then? So what is there from the last year that has not been completed that must be still completed this year, because it reflects into 3 years? Or is it just spilled out here in all the KPAs and it's just last year's project that is being continued with? And then I'm very worried about the fact that you don't see anything about the provinces. With the other departments this morning, we had transport and they gave us a provincial analysis. Now, I know your story is that you don't have your projects are across boundaries with provinces and so on, but nothing stops you to say we have unblocked the issues and the funding issues of the N2 in the eastern part of the Eastern Cape, and that project is now in full operation and it will be done in 5 years. And we had in transport this morning of the Maloto Rail and the Maloto Road and that sort of issue, which, you know, is a provincial thing, so it can be addressed like that. And then the Competition Commission, are they overloaded with work at the moment? And you may not, Jefferson, I just want to ask a question, because I must just ask, who's responsible for the Competition Commission here? Is it the DGI? Because it's them. Because there's a specific court case on at the moment. I've written to the Competition Commissioner about S1 making illegal SASSA deductions. And now I see the Minister has, there's a court case with the Minister on the matter. So it is very interesting, and I was told that they are taking note of my objection, but I haven't heard anything since. So I just want to know how strong they are. And then the preferential, the KDI number 14, page 28, you talk about the triple PSA. And I'm trying to find the wording of that act, and if you people can just, it's the Preferential Procurement Policy Framework Act. When was it promulgated, and where do I find the regulations of that? We've been trying to do the research while we were talking, but it's been a bit difficult. Thank you, Jefferson. That was your questions, wasn't it?
We will count them as three.
Honorable Khale, do you want to raise your question now, or do you want to hold?
Yeah.
Honorable Khale is from Limpopo.
No, let me raise it now, because it's not much, Jefferson, just a little. Anyhow, I am ready to invite all the members to Limpopo for the inflation.
Yes, I'm one of the
invited. Jefferson, I might not be good when it comes to these things of finances, but I just want to check the department. Why do they plan to get unqualified audit and not clean audit? And the other one, the Minister has just indicated that they managed to create 227,000 jobs for the youth. I want to check whether it's something in relation to the interns or the EPWP, or is it permanent jobs? Thanks.
Thank you very much. I will reserve mine after you've responded to this, and I'll quickly, by way of rounding up, raise my questions as well. Over to you, Mr. Kevin, your chief.
Thank you very much, sir. I want to start with the question that has been asked by Honorable Faba on the statistics with regard to page 3 of the slide 3 of the annex. We when they in a general response to situations. When you say that 190,000 versus the 200, the 190, you must remember that we're talking about the period of the end of quarter four. So I wouldn't, you know, when you say the minister said over 200, it might be that you had, I don't know which period that you were speaking to. It would be difficult for me to then be able to speak to specifics on that. But this information that we have here is directly from you. Your status, we don't have any, our source is one. We have one source. There is an issue that you are raising around, why do you speak of a year-on-year unemployment increasing by 284,000, and at the same time the unemployment declined? That is year-on-year on top. So it's like from 2014 to 2015. That is an annualized increase. But the quarterly decline, it says from quarter three to quarter four, that is a decrease that they've actually had. Remember the 284 is a just the amount that you've increased by. I mean, you have increased by. But this quarter, that is the decline that you have had to the 5.1. We're talking about quarter three, quarter three to four. That's what it is. Did I miss out anything else? I also struggled a lot I trying to pick up what the mistake I was doing. It also has to do with also sometimes you hear an increase in a creation of jobs, but at the same time unemployment has gone down, and it always causes that. But just say you are increasing with a number that is not enough to cover your difference.
Let's continue.
Example. Let's say you have this is quarter decline. You see. So if you have in this quarter a decline of this amount, and you have had averages that have decreased in between, when you go to your annual year, you will have lesser figure because it actually gets drawn in and give an average of the financial year. That's the thing that is involved. Okay. I'll ask with my colleagues to go if we still have to go more on that. The issue around what is our intervention in provinces, for example, issues that the Honourable raised on example of smallholder farmers, or the example that you've made on a smallholder farmer. What we do, for instance, as an example is, we use, say, the other parks that we said we're going to have, the 44. We go to one agri-park, and what is an agri-park? It says from production up to the whole chain into the market. That is a policy imperative. So we start from the enablers that are supposed to get the agri-park to start and say, why is it not starting? So we write the department and say, we want to see practically what is it that is holding this project, and we go through it, and we assist them to pull in all the people that must come in. And then we'll go into the next phase. Where is the market in this agri-park? And then we work with them and say, for this one to be able to be successful, we must go and unlock. Let us not assume that based on the percentage, there's a demand for so many mangoes, therefore there's a market for mangoes. We must be able to identify that market and unlock it. Like that. So in many of the instances that we have done, that's where you find a situation where you end up, say, even having a local agreement between a chain store and the suppliers to do that. So that's how we normally do an intervention in relation to that. On our infrastructure development, what is the level and who is actually doing it? Well, it depends on the level of the infrastructure that must be delivered. Most of the infrastructure that is so big, it requires grade 9, and grade 9 are like big companies. Some of them having most of them complying with your BEE code that says this percentage is like that, and with a BEE code. But we must indicate that we haven't yet reached there where we have got the participation of companies with equitable numbers of people that shows our democratic graphics in our country. It's an area where we're struggling on. Part of the discussions that we are having, especially, I think that we have reported something that the provinces and national are engaged in. It's an engagement with the companies themselves to come in and say, can we participate, can we work jointly to look at the transformation of ourselves and also the transformation of the industry by doing more training and providing exposure to the other companies or other individuals that would like to participate in the industry to have shareholding in you, or those that want to stand on their own and grow, incubate them so that over a period of say 5 years, we have more of those equaling you and competing you. And they are warming up to that. It's part of the interventions that we're actually we are doing. We also, in terms of skills development, do stipulate not only on skills, on all the various, you know, infrastructure is an enabler, and it can be used as a platform for transformation. So we are mindful of that. So what we do is, within the specifications, we make sure that the specifications respond to all policy needs of the country. For example, we do specify a number of kind of skills that they must do. They must have trained so many people on the rural base. They must have produced so many artists. They must have impressed so many, exposed so many artisans, taken so many students from an institution for them to actually qualify as artisans, and taken so many who are in degrees to have an exposure in them. So we do identify that. Also specify issues local procurement. You have to indicate exactly what is it that you have procured from them. Not play, things of play. If you look at our request members to look at or maybe visit once the universities that have been built now, especially in Mpumalanga, and just have a sense of what is happening, the very interesting things that are actually coming out of that program that is run there. They are reporting, if you look at the reporting, it speaks to the things that the Honorable Patrice was speaking to, the things that we want as deliverables. We must see them in the report, and practically even on the ground, we must see people that are actually there. So we do with that. Free State should we make as a candidate? Yes, Free State is our priority because all aspects are showing that there is a challenge there. Our officials are interacting with Free State. They are working with it. They have presented a preliminary report that is indicating which areas we should assist the Free State on in terms of on the direction that they must take to change things. So it's we are actually working on that, working with them to identify them, and probably because there have been changes now recently with HOD of Economic Development and the MEC are now minister, and see the HOD is now here. It's also another process that is allowing us to like adjust the new players in that area. Honorable friend, you were speaking about the issue that relates to the budget. That budget, actually, when it's 78%, it's us who have determined that. It's not a statute. Most of our budget that we have been given, some of it we have decided to say, why should we spend on this? When we have got young people that have got companies that are not actually financed by IDC, IDC can put this amount as part of you facilitating that. Can we give you this amount to facilitate on issues of women? So we do take our money from ourselves and identify a priority that need and attention. And give it. That's the one that has made us to be. You know the philosophy that we have in the department with the minister, that we feel like we don't need too many bodies coming around. We need the money to go to where it's supposed to work. The others we can, So the others we can work with universities. We can even work with these institutions. Like now, most of the things are actually coming. Most of the things we do them even through this institutions like your IDC and the DGs, actually coming from payroll as well. It's coming from there, so we approach and say, can I ask that capacity for a while? And they gave it to us. So it's part of the things that they. So it's based on those decisions. On the matter around the infrastructure report, I think it's something that we have noted in the, even the chair has indicated in the past that they are working on a process to, we have hit that, we have reported back to the president, we have reported to cabinet. There's a discussion on how do you structure, how do you get that report to come to committees as a PICC report, because at the presidential level, how do you deal with that? Because in ours, we don't mind. You see, the example that was given on N2 gate and then and the dam in the Eastern Cape, it was stuck. For a while, and then we come in and assist them, work with the department, sort out the issues. We leave it with them to report the outcome, because you can't report half. You know, they might report in full that you've actually closed that. Same with your Mloto, same with the one that we're dealing with now and concluding on the Free State one, on the NG bypass, which we're resolving. So it's when we resolve, it will be transport, it will be DTI coming, and the province say, we have resolved it. And we will say, we have given a report, we have done an intervention, it has been successful, we won't go into the details, because we should not, because and the nature of our work will go in different areas, we'll go to mineral resources, we'll go into that, we'll go in. So it's enabling the processes, the wheels to move, and more than actually implementing it yourself. Then, another example, the small harbour in the, for example, here in Western Cape and the Eastern Cape, there's been a lot of to-ing and fro-ing, and we had to put in a process to unlock that, and it's unlocked, and there are processes that are in place to get that to move in all of them. The small harbours are now getting developed, and they've got a direction to it. So that's the nature, that's the kind of bit of work that we normally do. The IPP is in the energy. They're stuck for a while, and we say, we can't have this stuck for so long and frustrate. Can we get? So we work with them and find out a way of actually dealing with that. They report, it's fine. It's what we got used to. That's what we want. In a short time, we don't want to get out and say a lot of things outside. I do understand that maybe it would be better to be specific in terms of the things that you want to do. But we have realized that we have come to this committee and we'll go to the Western Cape and deal with Saldanha. And only to find that we've been dealing with five of them and we're able to unlock the one in the Northern Cape. I mean, maybe in Limpopo or in Northern Cape. And now It's not a delivery because that's Baghdad. So that's why we very cautious about those issues. Is the Competition Commission overloaded? The Competition Commission overloaded. I'll give Valder to speak to that if there are details that you want to clarify. But in general, yeah, they do have a lot of seismic work, especially when they, since they became so popular, and even any community member now feels that they, oh, this is our public protector in the economy, to put in order. So that's we do have a bit of pressure on them. I don't know if you want to just indicate specifics.
They're not overloaded. However, they have asked for personnel with specialized skills whom they are outsourcing. So we are considering that. But no, the answer is no, they're not overloaded. I'm not aware of the case. If you could give the details, and then we could just check on that.
On the PPPA 1, 8 June 2011, that's when it was promoted. Yeah. And then the first one, the preferential, the first one was actually done, the Policy Framework Act was done in 2008, is Policy Framework number is Act 5 of 2000. The issue of the current inflation, I don't know if there's somebody who wants to speak on that. We haven't really dealt with the analysis of what the cause of that is. I did indicate that we see a pattern that is showing a drought impact, but we cannot be conclusive about it. We really need to look at what is that is causing the cost of that to be high. We saw it in this quarter, we saw it in the last quarter. And we just question and put a question mark on it and say, what is it that is actually happening? The other ones on the unqualified versus PIN. Why unqualified? Why not PIN? I remember. So on the unqualified one is that actually the framework of the don't have qualified and unqualified, and then you have the others, adverse and all those. So there is no record that says clean. So you have unqualified, which is categorized into two, with issues, and then others without. So that's why we said we keep on the actually regulated one, the one that is unqualified with issues. Our intention or without issues. Our intention is to have them without issues. That's what it is in terms of progress. We won't work towards regress. We want to go in the other direction. We're going to keep it like that. The 2077 youth. Ahmed, is there anyone who can speak to this? In my checking last time, the reports on the employment of on the employment statistics had to do with a period longer than the intention.
Tanya was in this area of work, so we can come back to the committee on that.
We'll verify, but we'll verify on the matters. But we know that on those reports, when you talk about employment, normally you talk about the ones that are not like so short term. And we'll look at that. We'll just check on the details on it.
Thank you very much, Ian. Let me, rather than raising questions, put it as a final remark. So is this
my final is still missing.
It's refined.
This is the HIT project in Tombo.
There's an updated feasibility study that is supposed to go to the Department of Energy in end of this year, early next year, to really test economics. The viability of the refinery is all about economics. And if I may add, the global refining industry is closing down in Western economies, and refineries are being built very close to the source of oil. Oil well, refinery. And that is what's happening. So this feasibility study is really about the economics of putting it across, knowing that a significant percentage of that petroleum products will have to be exported, and significant infrastructure will have to be added to South Africa to pipe it to the major consuming areas of housing. So that's where it is. So it is a PICC SIP project, but there's a feasibility study going to the Department of Energy from Petrosi.
In fact, on the PICC, we normally have a whole lot of projects that are standing there. At the period of announcement, when you put them on the ground, is when you cross all this, and then it's actually lifted as a deliverable, because people want to see something that is happening. We don't say we're planning to, but we say we have planned, this is what is happening. So we do have a whole list of the ones that we follow up all the time.
Thank you. My contribution would be to say that, honourable members, we do have a very interesting dynamic. The dynamic is that we are dealing with a broad spectrum of economic issues. So I'm not surprised when Honourable Van Linden, when talking about the department, say that I don't know exactly what you're there for, because we have all these other departments with huge budgets that we're dealing with. And if I can just give you the two examples, if we look at the Department of Tourism, you see they are receiving this 100 million, but we have an idea what it's going to be used for. Then we have, on the other hand, the Department of Transport. They just reported to us this morning, and we have lots of questions about transport. But because they have the money and they are doing the implementation, what then happens is when they report to us, it makes it easier. And the difficulty that we're having with EDD is where exactly we locate you, even after you've existed for 6 years. I would therefore think that it would help if you were mentioning all these reports here, that whenever you lay your hands on information that can sharpen our understanding as members of the Select Committee, to send it to us. You see, that's the interesting thing with the Ross and DTI. Sometimes you get angry because you get 10 emails per day with so much information that I can't delete them. I'm anxious to read what's in there. But let that be our choice. You give us the information. If the information is too much, then we can't blame you. The reason why I'm also mentioning that is in various other conversations that I've been in, both with the DM and with the minister, that this very important, like the detail that was asked by Honorable Father, that's explained and given to us. And we don't always understand these economic matters. But the point that I want to raise about the minister in particular is that you go in meetings, you have a wonderful presentation that he makes, and then say, can we get a copy? And he says, no, I'm just work in progress. And then you don't get it. Now, those are the type of things that I think can be very useful to us in terms of also helping you as a department with your oversight. Not that that is our work. I'm actually saying that it helps us to say that. We will monitor you. We will do our oversight in terms of, if we're having this problem, Head Muduri. What are you doing about that? Then our role becomes much more rigorous with you. And I think we are all committed to making sure that we have a government that works better, so if we can do that oversight better. I'm also quite impressed that you've hidden this thing on slide 57, I hope, about the black industrialist. When you talk about slide 37 about the mergers and acquisitions, that I've just been at a very interesting workshop where we looked at fronting as a challenge in the triple BEE. And mergers and acquisitions are obviously an element thereof, and the whole question of black industrialists is something that we are following quite closely as this committee. Then I had the same problem with Honorable, maybe I should say the same, I had a question as well about the unblocking. But mine is different from that of Honorable Van Linden in the sense that you're talking about unblocking. Investment, direct investment. Now, my question is, are you also looking at foreign direct investment, or is your unblocking role confined just to the unblocking of local investment, to put it that way? Because we do have within the DTI a way of dealing with that. Then my one piece of advice to you is, you see, when Honorable Van Linden raised the question about the absence of the provinces, I read the provinces in here, but I think it's not becoming very clear. And then also it's almost like a contradiction, because in slide 19, you're talking about one province and one municipality. And one is saying, so what about the rest? So maybe somewhere you would need to give us a broader picture from the provinces, and I think it's a point that has been raised earlier on already, to say that if you are engaged in particular projects in provinces, we raised it this morning with the Department of Transport as well, to say if you are laying out roads in the province, how do we get to know about that so that we can be more effective in our oversight of that? Otherwise, you get the impression that you are not there. Because the difficulty that you are having with us as well is that we aren't always in the province. We spend a lot of time here in Cape Town. Just the final remark I would want to make is about the MOU that you had with Eugene and Wits University. I bumped into Professor Chris Lance, an old friend, the other day, and we had a conversation about the cooperation between Eugene and government, because it's also my constituency area. But I want to speak on behalf of Honorable Dihale and say that it's not good enough, that we must also look at the University of Venda and maybe hosting some of these events at the universities outside of the province of Gauteng. I know we had one last year in East London, which was very well attended, and the reports that came from that were very helpful. But when we look at agro-processing and also we look at the manufacturing industry, we're saying that there's huge inequalities between Gauteng and the other provinces. So if it means that we can help the academics in other provinces, it might be better that we go there. Also, we get lots of investors participating in these things, and that exposure can actually help. So while we appreciate the work that you're doing with UJA and ENVITS, we are saying that don't do it at the expense of the universities in the other provinces. You, for example, mentioned Mpumalanga. The other day I was talking to Honorable Mtimunia, who comes from Mpumalanga, and we were saying, it's interesting what is happening at the university in Mpumalanga. And one can ask the same about what's happening at the university in Kimberley, being the new universities. The difficulty that we're having is that we're dependent upon a source to give us the information, and we're saying that we see the Department of Economic Development contributing as a very important source in giving to this committee vital information that can sharpen our interventions, our engagement with issues of national economics. But we're saying that while we talk about national economic implementation, there's no geographic space. That's national. It has to happen in one or the other province. And very often we as a committee have a difficulty that we may need to have more information about what economic development is happening in which province. We appreciate the report, however, and the plan that you've submitted to us. We also appreciate very much the fact that each one of us have our expectations from the department, and we trust that the questions that you have raised, that we have raised, will be understood as expectations that we have, and that it would in fact enable us to have an even better oversight over the work that you're doing, because if our perceptions of your work is wrong, it affects our oversight. And I'm sure that the Minister and Deputy Minister would want to see the economy working better for the people of the country, and we can accompany in that process, because as a select committee we have 9 departments of government that we're working with. You, for example, not said anything about international relations, but when we engage with the Department of International Relations, that's why I'm raising the question of FDI, where we once a year at least meet with all the ambassadors. And last year it was wonderful to have Minister Patel doing a presentation to the ambassadors. It was one of those that they appreciated the most, because what this department does is it brings the different strands together. And we think it's a strand that we're hoping you can utilize much more also to enrich our work as a committee. I will allow you, just because you're older than me.
Honourable, this is my account by case number for the Competition Commission. May I please keep it? 2016 February 0050.
It's
next one doing the illegal deduction from the SATA project or the SATA grant, but they got unfair access, and that's why I went to the Competition Commissioner. They got unfair access to a state database. Grimrod Bank.
I'm not going to speak on that. You would remember, honourable members, it's something that we could raise tomorrow because of this conversation, that when the National Credit Regulator reported to us, we asked them to give us pieces of information. Thanks, Martins. Martins has forwarded that on to all of us. I hope we've all received it. But you still should have received the documents. Okay. Because the question very close to that was raised in that session as well. We can talk about that at an opportune time. Honourable members, are we okay that we do just 2 final things? I'm worried now. Deputy Minister and your team, would you mind skipping your space just for 1.5 minutes? Then we can all discuss together. Secretary? I normally look at the attendance. Oh yes, no, we're okay. We're okay. Honourable De Falle? No, we can't do it. Because Honourable Ndebe, Honourable Timunia, Faber, Lomt is not here. But Honourable De Falle and I can do it.
Do you think I would disagree your minutes?
No, you are not there. Which one are you looking at? The 26th of January? No, I have the 26th of January. Oh, there's 3 sets. Okay, which one were you present, Honourable Van Lingen? The 3rd of March. Have you looked at that one? Are you prepared to propose for the adoption of that one? Okay. Honourable Van Lingen, propose to rest my pen. Did you take my pen? Oh, yeah, it is. There it is. Okay, that deals with the one for the 23rd of March. Which is the other one that you are seconding?
The 1st of April.
Honorable Dihale, were you there? You always here. Are you proposing that one, Honorable Dihale? Okay, propose Honorable Dihale. You don't want me to sign. Then the one for the 26th of January, it will have to be Honorable Dihale and myself. Can you propose and then I second? Thank you very much. That was it's all annual reports that were given to us. And you have received it beforehand. You've received it. I was fighting with Grace this morning to say, but Grace, why do you bring minutes that I've not seen? And Grace says, but you've edited them. You've seen them long ago. The problem was getting them adopted. So now they're adopted. I can say to you that I have looked at them. I have met amendments where amendments were needed. Otherwise, they are all fine. Thank you very much, members. The meeting is adjourned. Sorry, they brought our lunch while we were in session. So I was feeling guilty about eating here because I have not had lunch. But please feel free to. The problem that we're having, if you come to my house and I give you food, you can't say no thank you anymore.